May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 775. My God, when I reflect how all my lifetime passed, I ran the roads of sin and death with rash, impetuous haste. My foolishness I hate, my filthiness I loathe, and view with sharp remorse and shame my filth and folly both. Hymn 775.
Thank you. From the Word of God, we will read the book of Ezra, chapter 5, and part of chapter 6. The book of Ezra, chapter 5, and we will read the first 15 verses of chapter 6. You notice the previous chapter concludes, "Then cease the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem." So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Chapter 5. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God, helping them. At the same time came to them Tatnai, governor on this side the river, and Shethar Bozni, and their companions, and said thus unto them, "Who hath commanded you to build this house, and to make up this wall?" Then said we unto them after this manner, "What are the names of the men that make this building?" But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease, till the matter came to Darius, and then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. The copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor on this side the river, and Shethar Bozni and his companions, the Apharsachites, which were on this side the river, sent unto Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus, "Unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea, to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on, and prospereth in their hands. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them thus, Who commanded you to build this house, and to make up these walls? We asked their names also, to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned his answer, saying, We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build a house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God. And the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor, and said unto him, Take these vessels, go, carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in his place. Then came the same Sheshbazzar and laid the foundation of the house of God which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, hath it been in building, and yet it is not finished. Now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so, that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And it was found at Achmetha, in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll. And therein was a record thus written: in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 60 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones, and a row of new timber. And let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is at Jerusalem and brought unto Babylon, be restored and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. Now therefore, Tatnai, governor beyond the river, Shethar Bozni, and your companions, the Afar Sachites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs, for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savours unto the God of heaven, and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. Also, I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this, and the God that hath caused his name to dwell there destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree. Let it be done with speed. Then Tatnai, governor on this side the river, Shethar Bozni and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. May God bless the reading of his holy word. May he now help us in prayer. Most holy and gracious Lord, we ask thy blessing on the service this evening, that thy ancient promise might be fulfilled in all places where I record my name, there will I come, and I will bless you. And we trust that thy name is recorded here, in thy word, and in the hearts of thy people. O, may thy name upon my heart shed a rich fragrance there. The name of Jesus, our dear Emmanuel, for it is in his name that we draw near, and may be as true worshippers, inner court worshippers, favoured to draw near, having boldness, those sinners, to enter even into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. O, do shut out the world and shut us in with thyself. We would see Jesus in all his blessed suitability to meet our need. Cleanse us from our sin. O, grant thy forgiveness. Give us the tokens of thy love and favour. Soften our hard hearts. Take away the heart of stone. Give a heart of flesh. And save us from self and from unbelief. Save us from the power of sin. Hold us fast in the hour of temptation. And so, in prayer, may we see that glorious high priest, once crucified, now risen, exalted, ever interceding, we would see Jesus. And oh, we thank thee for the throne of grace and that wonderful word. May we prove it even this evening with all our concerns. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We thank thee for every favour, the continuation of thy mercies. May we set up our Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And may we prove what thou hast been, thou ever wilt be. Bless the preaching of thy word this evening, oh, that it might touch sinners' cases. May it be in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, oh, that it might be mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds of sin and of Satan. So we ask thee to be present with us and grant thy blessing in this sanctuary. Be a wall of fire round about, the glory in the midst. Grant that holy zeal for the praise and honour and glory of thy name. May that spiritual temple, composed of living stones, on the rock foundation, be built here, for what though the gates of hell oppose, yet must this building rise. And may there be many here whose prayer shall be, may I be found a living stone in Salem streets above. So we do beg of thee that thou wilt command thy blessing, even life forevermore, and also thou art my King, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Bless those who have come with a case in grace or in providence, and do touch it. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Make a way where there is no way. May it be as with Israel at the Red Sea, stand still and see the salvation of God. So we do pray week by week for thy blessing on the gospel ministry here, to the praise and honour and glory of thy name. Christ exalted, the sinner abased, and sinners sweetly drawn to the Saviour. We do pray for thy people everywhere, for our churches, our congregations, our ministers, young and old, new ones, afflicted ones, the Lord be with them, appear for them. And be with thy people everywhere as we think of many who suffer persecution for Jesus' sake. Bless the gathering this evening. May it be unto him, our heavenly Shiloh, the gathering of the people shall be. Where there are those in nature's unconcerned darkness and death, oh, may the dry bones live. Could it please thee to quicken them into newness of life and save them by thy grace? Teach them their danger. Show them the refuge. May they seek it, fly to it, find it. Oh, but may they speak of it, testify of it. To consider how great things the Lord has done for us. We pray for aged ones and for young ones, the little ones, the babies, those expected, and bless the families, and bless the Sabbath school. We would pray for parents bringing up children. We pray for those who have to mingle with the world. And we pray for all those with the various problems and concerns. Bless all those who are unwell, those who are absent, those who are concerned for those they love, those concerned about the unknown way. And be with all in trouble, all those with sad hearts. May they hear thee saying, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Be still and know that I am God. Thou hast a blessed ability to uphold in the time of trouble and sorrow, and thou hast a blessed ability to bring through and to safely deliver. We pray thou wilt feed the souls of thy people. Bless seeking, longing, inquiring souls, those who long to read their title clear, to mansions in the skies. Oh, may they not pray in vain. We pray that the streams of that sacred river might freely flow, to make glad the city of our God. May they be divinely directed streams in our midst and in our hearts, to cleanse and to satisfy. So we do beg then thy blessing to rest on this service. Oh, send us not empty away. Above all the sinners, may we be led to Calvary, to behold that scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. To see the wonders of redemption, to be brought to that fountain, open for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, to hear that voice, here's the fountain, opened wide for filthiness and sin. To hear that voice, it is finished. Oh, but for these things to be made known to us personally, a felt interest in them, Christ revealed, Christ made precious, a knowledge of his wonderful love, to feel it in our hearts, like poor Bartimaeus, as he heard Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Oh, do not pass me by. We want thee to come right where we are, leaping over the mountains, skipping over the hills, to come like the Good Samaritan, right where we are, to do everything for us in love and in mercy. So we seek these great things and pray for that closer walk with God. We beg thy help, thy blessing in everything, and may our poor prayers come up acceptably through the merits of thy beloved Son, our great and glorious High Priest. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1096. Oh, what dangers, all distressing, snare each morning pilgrim's feet. Gloomy sorrows still increasing, swell the present changing state. Hymn 1096.
Thank you.
with the Lord's help, I will speak to you this evening from the book of the prophet Haggai, chapter 1 and verse 5. The book of the prophet Haggai, the first chapter, verse 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Only three words spoken by the prophet, but oh, the wonderful effect, the amazing effect, the deliverance granted, the miracle performed, the thing which never could have been brought to pass, and quickly. So we're reminded right at the outset this evening, beloved friends, what a power there is in the holy word of God. When he speaks, and when that word is attended with divine power, the almighty effect of it. We're reminded that in one or two places in the New Testament, we have this spoken of God's holy word, that it is able. Now, of course, we have that several times concerning the Lord Jesus. For instance, he's able to save unto the uttermost. For instance, he's able to keep you from falling. So we might go on. And we expect this from the eternal Son of God. But then we come to God's word. It is able to make you wise unto salvation. It's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. May we never limit the power of God's word when used by his Spirit. The word of the Lord is not bound. So the best sermon, without God's blessing, it comes to nothing, and a feeble utterance, and the thing is done. Well, just three words, and that wonderful effect. May it be something like that this evening, that this word spoken from the Lord by the prophet might have some lasting, gracious effect in this congregation, between these walls. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So let me first of all this evening remind you of what was happening and what the situation was. You remember that God's ancient people, because of their disobedience and wickedness and idolatry, were taken into captivity in Babylon. But God said it would only be for 70 years. And at the end of 70 years, he raised up Cyrus to issue a decree that they could return, and that they could rebuild the temple, and that full provision should be made for them. We have so much about Cyrus, a heathen king, and yet fulfilling the Lord's purposes. You see, the hearts of all men are in the Lord's hand. The king's heart is in the Lord's hand as rivers of water he turneth it whithersoever he will. Now may that be a help with you this evening, if you're having to deal with people. And the Lord in a moment can move their heart whithersoever he will. So in the book of Ezra, we read of a little group returning. Not everyone wanted to return. And the foundation of the temple laid, it had been destroyed. And then the beginning of the temple being rebuilt. And suddenly it came to an end. They had enemies. First of all, they said, "Can we join with you?" When the answer was they couldn't, then the opposition. They did everything they could to thwart the work of God. And when the Lord's people spoke of this decree of Cyrus, their enemies appealed to the Persian Empire. And another decree came back. The work of building the temple had to stop. So before we started our reading this evening, it was a very dark, sad, solemn time. Never forget, beloved friends, the temple at Jerusalem meant so much to those godly Israelites. It was all they knew of the gospel. There was a priest there, there was a sacrifice there, there was precious blood there was a lamb slain there. It was all pointing to Calvary. It meant so much to them. And now it seemed that God's purposes were frustrated, that the work was at an end. And we find that for 15 years, nothing happened. It was a real sadness to those who really sought the honour and glory of God. But for the most part, the people were indifferent. They were careless. But let's be clear, God's purposes will be accomplished. However impossible, however difficult, and this was an impossibility, here you had a little remnant. You had the whole power of the mighty Persian Empire against them. And what do we read? That God sent two men. One named Haggai, one named Zechariah. And they began their ministry. And here we have the first word of the beginning of their ministry, consider your ways. Is it right there's nothing happening? Do you not know that God is on your side? Is he not greater than all the might of Persia? Consider your ways. And then that very, very simple commandment, they got to rise up and build. And the point is, they did it. In obedience to God's word. Oh, you see the power of the word of God accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit. Immediately they began to carry on the work. Oh, but you say, what about all these enemies? What about the might? Well, an appeal was made, and everything was turned completely upside down. They're encouraged to go on with the work. Oh, they find that Cyrus had told them to do it. Their enemies, if they try to oppose, they'll be put to death. Everything must be provided for them. Even their enemies have got to help to provide for them. And then we read very, very shortly afterwards, we read it this evening, that the work was finished. Not lingering on this point this evening, but God has a spiritual temple His beloved people, chosen, redeemed and called, made up of living stones laid on the sure foundation. And as we look around in the world this evening, it looks very much at times as if God's work has come to a standstill, doesn't it? As if the devil's having the last word. And wicked men in high places are going to have the last word. And as if nothing is happening. What God though the gates of hell oppose, this building must arise. God's work is going on. Those living stones are being laid in their place. The temple will be completed. And oh, what a sweet exalted song shall rend the living skies when shouting grace. The blood-washed throng shall see that top stone rise. This is the only reason the world exists. When that top stone is in its place, then that angel will stand with one foot on the land and one on the sea and let time be no longer, and then a never-ending eternity. And where will you be and where will I be? Will we be part of this glorious building? Will we be on the foundation, on the rock? Will there be only scaffolding that has to be pulled down? Well then, beloved friends, very, very briefly, this is the background of this verse. The impossibility. And yet that impossibility is performed, and the means. Two prophets. And if you read through this prophecy of Haggai, we don't know who he was, where he came from, what happened to him. And his ministry only lasted a year or two. And he spoke such simple things. And the Lord blessed the word. Well, may it be so today. Well then, having said all these things, more or less by way of introduction, what a word is this. Times are different. Circumstances are different. But God's people are the same. Their weaknesses are the same. Their fears are the same. The devil's the same. Their enemies are the same. Their problems are the same. But their God is the same. And you know, he still speaks this word. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider what your ways are in the sight of a holy God. Consider, are they holy ways, God-pleasing ways? Consider where your ways are taking you to, where your ways are leading you to. Consider where your ways will end if you continue in them. Consider how your ways stand in the sight of a holy God. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And it's just as much a word spoken to everybody in this chapel this evening as it was when Haggai first spoke it. But may it have the same blessed, glorious effect. Consider your ways. Now I'm going to linger here on this word, consider. Because there's so much about it in the Word of God. It means stop and pause and think. Consider. You know, there's one chapter in the New Testament and the Apostle Paul is speaking of one thing after another, important things, sacred things, and suddenly stops. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And this is where grace will bring you and me. If there's one thing that Satan hates, it is for people to stop and pause and think and consider. Satan loves this rushing headlong to eternity. That's why in the world today there's so much of this wild, mad rushing along. No time to stop, no time to think. That's why if you're in a shop or a supermarket or wherever it is, there seems to be some kind of blaring music. Why? So that you haven't really the opportunity to be quiet and you haven't the opportunity to think. But if the Lord has a purpose of love and mercy towards you and me, he'll stop us. Stop, poor sinner, stop and think. Before you further go, can you sport upon the brink of everlasting woe? And it will not only be, consider your ways, but that which Moses prayed for Israel, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Do you ever consider your latter end, where your ways are going to, or where your ways are going to end? How wilt thou do in the swellings of Jordan? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Have you noticed in the book of the Psalms, now and again you have that little word, Selah? It means a pause. It seems that in the singing, they just had to stop and pause for a moment. And if you read carefully, it's usually after something important has been spoken. Now don't go rushing on, don't be heedless, don't forget, stop and pause and think and consider what it's all about. What does it mean to you? Have you got an interest in it? And that word Selah, which is written so often in the Psalms, the Holy Ghost will write it in your heart. You won't be going just headlong, rushing along headlong. It will be that stopping and pausing and considering your ways. And when through grace you're brought to pause and stop and consider your ways, you realise the wrong ways and sinful ways. You realise the ways that need forgiveness. You see these ways end in death, but then there's eternity. As you consider your ways, you're not right, you're not ready, you're not prepared. So you're brought to consider your ways and you're brought to consider your latter end. And what is it then? Well, you need a saviour. You know, I love the Epistle to the Hebrews. And we're in the Epistle to the Hebrews this morning. And in three different places, we have a consider there. But it's not considering your ways. It's not considering your latter end. It's turning your eyes another way to Jesus and his blood. It's to consider him. Let me just mention one of them at this moment. Speaking of this great and glorious high priest, this glorious man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, consider how great this man. Those of you this evening who've been brought to consider your ways, and thine's, alas, a lost condition. Works cannot work thee remission, nor thy goodness do thee good. You don't find any comfort in considering your ways. But then as the Holy Spirit points you in a different direction, points you to Calvary, points you to a dying Saviour, points you to his precious blood, and then points you to the gospel, and the promises of the gospel, and the sweet invitations of the gospel, and then leads you on to see this man, this glorious man now risen, exalted in heaven, almighty to save. Now, whatever you're considering in your own heart and in your own life, to be led by precious faith to consider this man. And there to see your only hope and your only plea and your only foundation, and you need no other. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Well, they did hear, and the Lord blessed them in it. May the Lord enable us this evening to consider our ways, and may the Lord bless us in it. But then you see, beloved friends, this is not just a word spoken right at the beginning of a work of grace, the quickening into life, a sinner feeling his need, a sinner being led to Christ. It's a word we need continually throughout our Christian profession and throughout our Christian pilgrimage. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. There are times when we need to stop and consider our ways, the things we're doing, the way we're behaving, things in our families, things in our relationships one with another, things in the Church of God, things concerning our plans, things concerning our decision. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Are they God-honoring ways? Are they ways in obedience to the Lord's command? Are they ways according to Scripture? We need these times when we're brought to stop and consider our ways. Is our spirit right? What will the end of these things be? Now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Well, as led by the Spirit of God, they did consider their ways. And they had to confess that they were wrong. And the Lord was chastening them because they were wrong. But the great thing here seems to be this. They were completely settled on their lees. They were completely happy. They were completely content. Because all these things that we read about in the book of Ezra, they weren't really interfering their lives naturally in their homes and families and work. There were things that were concerning the house of God. And they weren't really so concerned on the desolations of Zion and the desolations of the house of God, so long as things are going smoothly in their lives. Now, is there not a word here for the present day, for our churches and for our congregations? And one thing they had been saying, they couldn't deny that the building of the Lord's house was God's work. They couldn't deny God had commanded it. They couldn't deny it must be done. But they said, the time is not yet come. Now, there's a lot of that spirit, you know, in our carnal hearts by nature, when we know a thing is right, that we can't argue that it's wrong, but we avoid it by saying, not yet. This people said, the time is not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, all ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? The thought here being some kind of mansion. And this house lie waste. Oh, their great concern was their self. And carnality. An ease. An earthly comfort. There is a need continually. I think you'll find some of your most profitable hearing times is when the Word of God finds you out and when the Word of God corrects you. They're not the most pleasant, but you'll find them profitable. Consider your ways. Bring them to the light of divine truth. How do they stand concerning obedience to the Lord's commandments? Now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Well, they did. They confessed their sin. They fell under it. And immediately they began to build. And soon the work was accomplished. In other words, they saw their mistake, they realised their sin, they confessed their fault, they were blessed with repentance, they received forgiveness, and it wasn't just feeling what they were saying, their lives were different, they fell under God's command, they walked in obedience to him, they did consider their ways. And then, you know, the Lord spoke one or two really precious promises to them. Some of the most precious promises in the minor prophets. They're not minor because they're of less importance. They're only minor prophets because they're of less length. One thing. When they fell under God's word, blessed with repentance, walking in obedience, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. So they had three words of condemnation, consider your ways, and then they had four words of comfort, I am with you. And then a little bit later, they had another sweet word spoken to them. They considered their ways. Everything had been going wrong. There was famine. The land was desolate. But now, they'd fallen before God's word. They'd been humbled. There was a change of heart. From this day will I bless you. What a word that is. From this day I will bless you. Now, let's be clear, we're not getting on legal ground. But when they were walking in carnality and disobedience, they weren't knowing much blessing, were they? Them that honour me, I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Oh, but the difference now. From this day will I bless thee. And then there's a third thing. The Lord said to them, once they were walking in obedience, seeking to fulfill his will, their nest stirred up, are brought under condemnation, confessing their sin, forgiven, cleansed. Well, you know, this is a beautiful word, and it's a word in my own congregation we've often coveted and prayed for, and Mr. Watts felt that we'd possessed according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. I just perhaps turn aside or stay here a little moment. You see, this second temple, in obedience to God and in obedience to the prophet Haggai, and as they were led to consider their ways, it was a very mean building compared with Solomon's glorious temple. And some of the real godly ones were sad. They considered their ways. They sought to walk in obedience to the Lord. But what about that glorious temple the older ones remembered? And what about this? See what the Lord said by Haggai? The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. For in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And why was the glory of that second temple greater than the glory of the first? Because our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, when he was here upon earth, he used to visit that temple. And then the prophet crowns it all with this, and the desire of all nations shall come. We have that beautiful title of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We have that wonderful promise of his birth, of his coming, his work. The desire of all nations shall come. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So first of all, this evening, I've tried to speak on it, especially more concerning a sinner's beginning, as through grace and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, he's brought to consider his ways and then seek pardon and mercy and forgiveness in Christ. And then secondly, I've tried to speak about it as God's people, as they go on, the Lord at times brings them up to a standstill and bids them consider their ways. Is everything right in your life? Is everything right in the church of God? Is everything right in your family? Is everything right in your spirit? Now, I just want to speak to you about a third aspect of this truth. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And it's this. Perhaps as you consider your ways tonight, and honestly, before the all-searching, all-seeing eye of God, you can't see that you're walking in any special non-sin. You know you're sinful, you know you're guilty, but there isn't some special unconfessed sin. But as you consider your ways, you perhaps say, but I'm confused about my ways. As I consider them, they're dark ways. They're sorrowful ways. They're perplexing ways. They're disappointing ways. I don't find any comfort. I can't help considering my ways. I'm considering them morning, I'm considering them evening. They're with me all the time. The word says, thy ways, well, they are my ways. Well, there is a word in Scripture, perhaps particularly for you, and it's this. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Or as it has been translated, he shall act. And the word of God says, thy way. I think it's Philpott, isn't it, who says, how kind the Lord is. He leaves it beautifully open. He doesn't say this way or that way or some particular way. He says, thy way. Thy way. That which lies heavily on your heart, that which concerns you. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit it to the Lord in prayer. Cast, he said, on me thy care, 'tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear, I will all thy needs supply. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. But as you consider these ways, your ways, and the ways of sorrow and trouble and difficulty and perplexity, there's another of those glorious considers of the Epistle to the Hebrews, which answers this like a pair of scales, and one balances the other. And it's this. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. It's that point we're on this morning, isn't it? That loving, faithful, sympathetic high priest, touched with the feeling of your infirmities. And what is it as you consider your ways, and their sad ways, sorrowful ways? Well, does this describe it? Weary, faint in your mind. And here's an antidote, a divine antidote, God's own antidote. Consider him. As you consider your ways, consider his ways. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ, my Lord, suffer, and shall I repay? Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. When we talk about this word contradict, we usually mean arguing or saying something opposite, don't we? I take it in Scripture, contradiction doesn't just mean speaking against someone, it means opposing them in every possible way. Now, that was the life of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. You see, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all these enemies, such contradiction of sinners against himself, and Satan behind it all. And perhaps you feel that you can come in there. These things that come against you, they seem to assail you, they seem to assault you. Contradiction. And as you consider your ways, well, weary and faint in your mind, consider him, that he knows, and he understands, and he cares, And he's no longer tonight enduring contradiction of sinners against himself, but he remembers it. But he's risen, exalted, glorified in heaven. He's able to forgive, to cleanse you in his precious blood, to prepare you for heaven. He's able to support you in the hour of temptation, to deliver you from sin, self, darkness, your unbelief. He's able to comfort you, to help you, to uphold you, to be with you, to bring you along, to bring you through, to hear and answer your prayers. And he's not only kind and merciful and considerate, he's almighty. Well, I hope tonight there's been a lot of considering of our ways in each of those three ways I've tried to speak of them. Pour not on thyself too long. But dear old Mr. Frank Gosden said, yes, but make sure you pour on yourself long enough, but pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee, Lord. Look to Jesus, kind and strong. Pity join with power, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Many years ago, I was led on a visit to Leicester one Lord's Day to preach from that beautiful text I just quoted. And in the morning, I didn't get any further than those two words, consider him. Now, they said there was an old lady in a hospital, would I visit her? And she was a most godly old lady. She was an old member of Mr. Hazelrigg's. I was only too pleased to go to see her, but she was almost stone deaf and she was in hospital with a bad ear infection. She was pleased to see me, but I couldn't get her to understand one single word from beginning to end all the time I was there. I couldn't read with her, I couldn't pray with her. And in the end we were almost just looking at one another. I thought there was only one thing it struck me to do. Had a piece of paper, an envelope in my pocket, and I took it out, and I just put on it, morning's text, consider him. 12 months later, the old lady was back at chapel. She said, can you remember visiting me in hospital? She said, I spent the whole day on those two words, consider him. Thinking of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, she had a most blessed day in hospital. And that taught me a lesson, it has done ever since. You know, we ministers, we go and we preach and we try to say things which are right. We hope God will bless it. But that dear old lady, she didn't know one single thing that was said in the sermon, not one single thing. But the simple word of God, and that only two words of it, it did the deed in her heart and blessed her. Well, we've been talking this evening, we've had three words, and then we had four words, and these are only two. But it's the power. In power. And in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance. Now may it be so. Consider your way. But oh, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds.
The collections last Lord's Day were £725, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jabez Rutt will preach on Wednesday, and Mr. Burgess will preach next Lord's Day and speak to the Sunday School in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 215. Free grace to every heaven-born soul will be their constant theme. Long as eternal ages roll, they'll still adore the Lamb. Hymn 215.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us forever. Amen.